Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Where were the Book of Mormon lands? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. If there's one thing you learn in reading the Journal of Discourses, it's that the leaders who spoke in many of these messages that are recorded within those pages seem to have a very, very much a certainty of the things of which they spoke. One of those things of which they seemed to be fairly certain of was where the Book of Mormon lands were located. Now, first of all, we need to explain that there is no one consensus, even within the membership of the Mormon Church, as to where these alleged Nephites and Lamanites actually lived. There are primarily three theories where they possibly could have been. One of them is known as the hemispheric model, which includes all of North America, Central America, and a great portion of South America. This is the idea that was primarily held by early Mormon leaders, including many of those who are recorded within the pages of the Journal of Discourses. You also have what is known as the limited geography theory. This is a notion that has been held by many of the professors at Brigham Young University, which holds to the idea that the Book of Mormon characters were restricted to a fairly small area around the Central American part of the Western Hemisphere. Now you have another popular theory, which is known as the Heartland model. People such as Rod Meldrum holds to this position, as well as Glenn Beck, the well-known radio and television commentator. You have to understand, as I said earlier, that there is no one consensus. Now, the Mormon leadership could solve this in a heartbeat. It's not going to happen, mainly because the Mormon Church is divided. In the 19th century, I would venture to say that the most popular theory was the hemispheric model. In other words, Lehi leaves Jerusalem with his family and travels by boat across the Indian Ocean, across the Pacific Ocean, and lands somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, probably, as some leaders believed, around South America somewhere. In fact, we have Orson Pratt, who was one of those who held to this position, and he very firmly, more than once, gave a very detailed account about where the Book of Mormon lands were located, and it conflicts very seriously with what is known as this limited geography theory that is held not only by many BYU professors, but of course many Latter-day Saints. Now, you've talked to Mormons and you asked them, well, where are the Book of Mormon lands? And we found that Mormons are divided over this. I've talked to some who hold to the limited geography theory, and I've talked to some as well that hold to the Heartland model.
I'm going to go out on a limb, though, and say that most of the people that I've talked with would go with the Heartland theory, because it's just a more natural way of going about things. It seems more clear with Cumorah that the battle did take place there, that everything all kind of works together. So without a lot of information or knowledge, most people are not going to take the BYU kinds of theories. They're not going to have studied this up very much. It really doesn't matter to them.
When you say that, though, would you agree that a lot of them that hold that position seem to hold to bits and pieces of things that they've heard, but they're not very consistent in actually defending that position?
Well, how many times have we heard people say, down in Central or South America, there are museums that have lots of archaeological artifacts that would support the idea of the Book of Mormon? I've heard that a number of times, and yet they still seem to be they're not knowledgeable about the whole controversy, I suppose.
Well, if you were living in 19th century Utah, which is what we're doing in this study of the Journal of Discourses, trying to give you a little bit of a glimpse of what life was like living in the 19th century under leaders such as Brigham Young and Orson Pratt. We have Orson Pratt making this statement, and this is found in Volume 14, page 325 of the Journal of Discourses. He says that on board this vessel, he was talking about how they built these ships. This is Lehi and his family. On board this vessel, they embarked and were guided by the Almighty across the great Indian Ocean, passing among the islands, how far south of Japan, I do not know. They came round our globe, crossing not only the Indian Ocean, but what we term the Great Pacific Ocean, landing on the western coast of what is now called South America. As near as we can judge from the description of the country contained in this record, the first landing place was in Chile. He misspells it. He makes it sound like the thick, meaty soup rather than Chile, which is the way the country is actually spelled. Not far from where the city of Valparaiso now stands. So he not only has the route, he's got a place name where he can tell you pretty close where they actually landed.
And the only way he would know that is through prophetic understanding. There's no way historically or anything in the Book of Mormon that would suggest what he's saying.
No, you're right. He actually says also on the same page that the Nephites formed a colony not far from the headwaters of the River Amazon. Now, if you did a study on where the Amazon begins, it begins really around Peru. So he's saying the Nephites formed a colony not far from the headwaters of the River Amazon, and they dwelt there some four centuries, increasing and spreading forth in the land. He goes on to say a certain portion of them who still believed were commanded of the Lord to leave their brethren in consequence of their wickedness. They did so, and those who remained faithful under the guidance of prophets and revelators came still further northward, immigrating to the headwaters of what we now term the River Amazon. I don't know why he's repeating that part again. Until they came unto the waters of the river which we call the Magdalena. That's probably why he's doing it. On this river, not a great distance from the mouth thereof, in what we now term the United States of Colombia. This is where they built their capital city. They also discovered another nation that already possessed that country called the people of Zarahemla. Here is Orson Pratt giving all these incredible details. He goes on in the next page, on 326, he says, about 50 years before Christ, 5,400 men with their wives and children left the northern portion of South America, passed through the isthmus, came into this north country, the north wing of the continent, and began to settle up North America. And from that time, a great emigration of the Nephites and the people of Zarahemla took place year by year. I will here mention one thing which perhaps may be startling to individuals who are unacquainted with the antiquities of this country, that the Nephite nation about this time commenced the art of shipbuilding. They built many ships, launching them forth into the Western Ocean. The place of the building of these ships was near the Isthmus of Darien. Scores of thousands entered these ships year after year and passed along on the western coast northward and began to settle the western coast on the north wing of the continent. Now they're going from South America, past Central America, up into North America. I mean, where are they? Around Portland or Vancouver, Washington? I don't
know. One thing I'd like to say, you mentioned earlier about not being talked about. This is not a thing that's talked about at general conference. Wouldn't you love it, Bill, if they were as specific as Orson Pratt is here in today's general conference? Because they repeat a lot of things all the time. This is something that hasn't been talked in a conference in many, many dozens of years.
They don't touch this subject. They leave it very vague, and they kind of let their own people, you know, debate it among themselves. But you're right. Pratt is very precise on this. And folks, Pratt just didn't say this one time. He says this another time. He's very clear, and he's pretty consistent in his storytelling. Notice we don't have Brigham Young or anybody else correcting him. He's being allowed to tell this story more than once. But he goes on, 45 years after the coming of Christ, there was a vast colony that came out of South America, and it is said in the Book of Mormon that they went an exceeding great distance until they came to large bodies of water and to many rivers and fountains. And when we come to read more fully the description of the country, it answers to the great Mississippi Valley. So not only are they now in the Great Northwest, now here they are in the Mississippi Valley. He says there they formed a colony. We know that to be the region of country from the fact that these plates were taken from a hill in the interior of the state of New York. Now they're up in the Northeast. He says, being the descendants of those same colonists that settled in the Valley of the Mississippi. And I want to mention this. He says, when we speak of the Valley of the Mississippi, let me say a few words to inform the minds of my brethren and sisters from foreign countries who may not be so fully acquainted with the geography of our land. The Valley of the Mississippi does not mean a small valley like these valleys here in the Rocky Mountains, but it means a vast area of territory, some 1,500,000 square miles in extent, enough to accommodate, listen to this, several hundred millions of inhabitants, almost a world itself. There the Nephites became a great and powerful people. In process of time, they spread forth on the right and on the left, and the whole face of the North American continent was covered by cities, towns, and villages, and population.
Well, you would think there might be some kind of evidence with the people living at different places are going to leave behind, as you've mentioned before, garbage. They're going to leave behind artifacts, all of these things. If it's so widespread as he's talking about, where are these places and where are the artifacts?
And you're right. And of course, another major factor for the Latter-day Saint in order trying to make a decision on this is, why is it that the whole church doesn't hold to it?
Well, and the thing is, the Bible has all kinds of battles laid out. And while we might not always know exactly where that battle took place, we can generally know from the geography that's been given to us.
Tomorrow, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, and we're going to look at some other statements by Mormon leaders as to where this great battle on the Hill Cumorah took place. Because, as we've mentioned, there is not a consensus within the Mormon Church. If you lived in the 19th century, you would probably agree with what I've read to you from Orson Pratt, because Brigham Young pretty much agreed with that as well. But that is not what modern Latter-day Saints all believe today.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.